Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. I should just stretch that out for the entirety of this first hour of the show. I'm pretty excited. We're, 11:06 in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm going to be on vacation all of the next week. So I think Monday and Wednesday will be Brad Young filling in. I'm not sure who's filling in on Tuesday or Sunday. But Thanksgiving night, I have a special put together. And putting it together ahead of time, I saved all these different elements. And I thought, I don't know if I have enough. And I'm just saving. And we solicited phone calls on this radio program. And we did all kinds of great things, I thought. We had fun with it. And I put together a three-hour special, which I think may even repeat itself at night. But the three-hour Thanksgiving special will air in place of the show on Thanksgiving night. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. I put into it, which I think is something that has never happened on KMOX in the past, one of my family traditions, or at least one of my own personal traditions growing up in Detroit, was waking up when my parents were already up. I mean, they woke up super early. Yeah, it's 4 o'clock. They're out there starting to prepare the Thanksgiving meal for our family and friends that were going to join us at the house. So you hear them cooking and you wake up a little bit early on Thanksgiving. You know, you don't have school, which is nice. You don't have to worry about it. You're still kind of used to waking up early. You wake up, you drink some coffee, and you might turn on the news and see them preparing for the parade. You might see the Macy's Day Parade preparations. And there's not a lot of hard news on the Thanksgiving. And things are pretty light. You can watch a movie in the morning, whatever it is. It's just you have all of this convenience time that happens in this downtime. But there was something that I would do every single Thanksgiving, which is I would turn on the radio. And there was a rock station in town that always played a song in the morning. It was Arlo Guthrie, which is Alice's Restaurant. It's like an 18-minute song. I included that on the Thursday night Overnight America. It may be the only time, or maybe the first time, it's played on KMOX in its entirety. I don't know if it has or not, but it's going to play on Thursday night. There's only one other song that I included in its entirety, was the good old Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song, which some people look at as polarizing. I don't know who doesn't like this song. It might be a nice way to open up the start of the week leading into Thanksgiving with the little Adam Sandler. That song and just how childlike it is, considering if you were to listen to any of his albums around that same time, they were so dirty. But that's Adam Sandler. And yes, I love Thanksgiving too. And I hope we can spend these next couple of hours together as I get ready and prepare for vacation mode. And I'm going to try my best not to get stuck in it. All right, we got a lot on the show tonight. Fox 2 did a story about Stan Kroenke in some of the different upcoming court battles that could be happening this week, an update on that, and proving that it's more than sour grapes, which I think is good to do. A couple of other sports things. The NFL and Kaepernick still at odds, and there's some protesters that took to a college game over the weekend. Dog myths, and I have an update on my puppy. I thought I'd give you an update there. Exercising in the next hour. Oh, how about this? Our friend Drex from Canada. He does the late shift up in Vancouver. We're going to talk to him and got a lot to get to, including that new Tesla debut from last week. We're going to talk Tesla cars and trucks with Drex next hour at a little after 12:30. Looking forward to all of these things. And we'll keep the phone lines open at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You can text that first line too. It's Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America. Fox 2 did a story about the setbacks that are piling up for Stan Kroenke. You know, some people say it's sour grapes. The Rams lost us and we're just sore losers and whatever it is. I think what's going to happen in this court case, it's going to prove it's more than just people souring over the fact that the Rams lost. I think it's going to expose that it was really under some pretty terrible, deceptive types of, well, maybe even criminal in things that they'll be held responsible for. Reasons why. And as they go back to court this week, there's a couple of things we can learn. Here's Fox 2 reporting.
Rams owner Stan Kroenke's first big loss in the case was in the fight to move the case out of the courts and into arbitration. The battle now is focusing on phone records of Kroenke, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and multiple other team owners and league officials.
Get those phone records in. And this is good. It's good that this is going to be played out in the public square. We know that the NFL would prefer to do these things as quietly as possible. You know, you see these behind closed doors and you see all these other ways that they try to manipulate the message to make them look like they are the saints of the, but they're really not. And when they get down to it, if you look at all of these different owners maybe messaging each other, it shows that there really wasn't this good faith. They weren't acting in good faith. In fact, you know, they talk about this in the Fox 2 story.
Kroenke and the NFL are losing big again so far.
I like that. Losing big so far. I want them to lose, and I want them to lose big.
The latest St. Louis victory was yet another denial of a stay for the Rams and the NFL from the Missouri Supreme Court. It follows denial after denial.
I like that. Denial after denial. They're sitting in the corner, rocking and sucking their thumbs, thinking right now, what's going to happen when everyone sees this? I love those rumors that mention, well, this is the reason why the Chargers are going to come to St. Louis. I don't even know if we would welcome an NHL team or an NFL team at this point. I think that most people are just completely soured by the whole process and the NFL's the way they handled it. And you know what? Who knows if they're complicit in all of this? Maybe we should have been reading the writing on the wall all along to think that it wasn't worth our time and effort. Maybe we should have just let it go earlier. But instead, they said, oh, no, we'll allow you to try to keep this team, and we'll let you get a chance at it when really there was no chance. And there's a lot that was lost because of something like that. You know, there was already the season ticket holders that got their payout, which is good for them. Lawyers got paid, too. I know Brad Young would be happy for that note. But when we look at the way the NHL had and played a part in this, it's going to be embarrassing for them, too. You know, it's not just Stan Kroenke and the complete amount of hatred people have for him picking up and moving the Rams out of St. Louis. It's the what the NFL did as well during this whole process. Now, let's say these text messages in this court case is able to expose some of those things. Would we even want an NFL team back in St. Louis? I don't even know if the fans would embrace it like they did the Rams, because there was a lot of Rams fans here. Would they even go up and say, okay, I'm just going to root for the Chargers now. I'm going to fall in line and do what the NFL tells me to do, because now that we got a team, we have to support this team. I think most people would just be enough. I don't even care if they put another team here. We don't want it. We're done. If it says NFL, we're done with it. I'm curious if you would even care if another team came to St. Louis at this point, or if you're completely done with the NFL. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Here's some more from that Fox 2 story.
From State Circuit Court, the Missouri Court of Appeals, and the Missouri Supreme Court. St. Louis City, County, and the Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority, which owns the dome at America Center where the Rams played in St. Louis for 21 seasons, are seeking millions of dollars in damages.
Oh, yeah, and they mentioned at the end of this article, more than just millions, it could get up multi-millions, and they said even possibility of billions. Could you imagine if St. Louis won a settlement of billions? I'm assuming that the NFL, if they were to realize it could actually get that high up, and they were really getting their butts whooped inside of the court of law, that they would have to find a way to settle this very quickly. Undisclosed amount, which is the city would probably be getting a lot. But would it even be undisclosed? I don't even know if that number could be hidden by the public, considering we're talking about government agencies that are involved here. But either way.
Including $17 million spent on a new stadium project to keep the Rams in St. Louis, which the suit claims Rams owner Stan Kroenke and the league encouraged, even though they were already working to move the Rams back to Los Angeles. Kroenke's legal team calls the request for phone records an overly broad fishing expedition with no regard for the privacy of 121 private persons working for the NFL or its 32 teams. Commercial law attorney.
Oh, this is hilarious. This is, they're out there saying, oh, what about the privacy of the people working in the NFL? Because of the text messages are so invasive. How dare you find out if they were working in good faith, which is kind of the whole idea here. You know, 17 million, let's just say that. Let's just start at that number, 17 million. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, just go ahead. You just do it. Well, then, you know, it'll help us make our decision when there really wasn't any intention of using that as a reason to keep the decision there. It does make me feel good that over in Los Angeles, they are just over flooded and people aren't really attending the games for like the Chargers and these. They got all this money tied into it. And even as good as the Rams have been there, people are totally allowed to be sour on all of this. And sure, the Rams were allowed to move if they wanted to move. But number one, the way they handled it. And number two, the way that they dragged us along and all the money we spent knowing that they were going to move anyway, which is the allegation, that's lousy. And you know what? They deserve to be called out publicly for that. And if that's what they're trying to defend, knowing all along that's what's happening, it just goes to show you just how shady the NFL is to begin with. The whole idea of it all is very shady.
KTRS radio host Jay Kanzler tells us the records will show only that calls and texts were made. They will not show the content of those calls and texts.
It is a fishing expedition. Everyone always uses that. When I ask you for documents and information, you call it a fishing expedition. I call it my chance to determine what was really going on. You can get those. But if they can start matching up the numbers, Kroenke called Jones, who called this owner, who called that owner, they can start to prove or at least show that there was a lot of conversation going on about the time this decision was being made. No, I don't think these calls are the smoking gun. These are the kind of records that prevent people from denying they had conversations, and collusion's all about conversation.
Oh, look at that. The collusion word, not associated with Donald Trump right now. We're looking at Stan Kroenke, the NFL, and what was going on down there. And who else was involved with something like this? Yeah, I'm sure they're making a lot of calls to Los Angeles in a time like this, right? And a lot of L.A. calls. Wonder how much was going down at that point. Does anyone actually believe Stan Kroenke is being honest in all of this? Do you think he's being forthcoming? Do you think he's actually a good business owner? Do you think he's a good person to do business with? You know who had a big beef with Stan Kroenke? It's actually the owner of the team that's going to be playing football here in a few months, the XFL. So you have Vince McMahon, who is the person that is the cornerstone of that organization, built it for all these years into this giant organization that it is today. And Vince McMahon called out Stan Kroenke some years ago. He does not like him. He says he's a terrible business owner. There was an instance where they were going, I believe it was Denver, and there was a conflict where they double booked the WWE and a different game or something like that. And they canceled the WWE. He said, you got to be kidding me with all this. So he went off and just went all crazy on Stan Kroenke, justifiably. And good for Vince McMahon to do that. Now, he's the one that's going to be investing money, what, $500,000 per game to rent space in the Dome in order to play those XFL games. It's going to bring a lot of revenue. At least some revenue is going to be coming in there, not just conventions. And they have to do something. And they didn't make all those renovations to the wrong areas, because the areas where they need it right now is not in playing football. It's the areas they need it is, you know, the space and the accommodations. So what's going to happen next with the NFL? What's going to happen next in the city of St. Louis? I don't think people really want to see the NFL come back here. I feel like they are, at this point, they burnt all their bridges and it's just over. You imagine how hard it would be for the NFL to come back to St. Louis and make a case. Oh, no, we're all good now. Come and root for this team. Come on. Yay. You know, oh, everything's fine. We didn't. It would almost be like those instances of domestic violence where the person that was abused goes back to their former lover and says, oh, no, they've changed. That's kind of like us rooting for the NFL again in St. Louis. You know, after we've seen this instance where if we'd just been beat down, it'd be, what, do they expect us to cower down to the feet of the NFL and say, oh, no, we're so thankful you're here. Everything's so wonderful. You know, it's almost like a pride thing at this point. I can't wait for this lawsuit to go through. The information becomes public as part of this lawsuit in open court. Or, better yet, maybe the NFL settles out of court with a big settlement and the city of St. Louis can take what's owed to them. 314-436-7900. You can call or text, or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America. Hey, how about that? Gonna have a week off. I'm pretty excited. So we'll spend this last night together. Then I'll be back the Monday after Thanksgiving. Here's the phone number you want to call in. We're live in St. Louis, Missouri at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So this is on Twitter right now. The senior executive producer over at KSDK, Jennifer Feldman, tweeted this out. It says, breaking, a massive search is underway at George Winter Park in Fenton for a missing 8-year-old girl who was last seen around 6 p.m. The Jefferson County Sheriff's Office has a command post set up near the search area. KSDK on the scene will provide updates when they get them. So I had to look that up. I haven't been to George Winter Park, so it's on the Merrimack, just a little bit southeast of like where 30 and 141 hit. It's a little southeast of that in Fenton. So it's right up on the Merrimack, and I am going to keep an eye on this, and let's see if there's any updates from Jennifer Feldman that come through. But that was about 11 minutes ago. She posted some photos and was talking about that. We don't know the name or exactly what they're expecting, as in, you know, this 8-year-old girl goes missing. There wasn't a photo, so I don't think they're looking for, like, public input at this time. It doesn't look like there's an Amber Alert or anything like that associated with it either. It's interesting they would go specifically to this one part right by the water. So we'll hope and pray for the best there. That's scary and sad. It's cold out, you know, what, 50 degrees in St. Charles, 46 in Edwardsville. Oh, there's an update? All right, let's see. Did Jennifer post the update? Okay, let me refresh this. Okay. So it said 8-year-old girl update. Grant Bissell with the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office said the child and the adult who ran after her when she wandered off had both been found safe in the woods. Okay, good. That's good news. Wow, how about that? 22 seconds ago that was tweeted. How about right then and there, boom, both found safe. That's a good way to wrap that up. Okay, now we don't have to worry about it. All right. Thank you, Lord. So here's a couple of other sports stories that were going down. NFL and Kaepernick still at odds of the failed workout. So of all the teams that were able to go to this impromptu workout after he canceled the NFL one, where all the teams were pretty much represented, almost all the teams, 25 total were ready to attend the league's workout. And that was at the Atlanta Falcons professional facility ran by the professionals with the professional video crew. Colin Kaepernick, what, an hour before it was going to start, said, ah, never mind, I'm going to go up to this high school about 60 minutes from here, or at least 60 miles from here. I'm going to do it myself. So not many teams followed him, only a few did, but apparently they got the video or whatever it is. How many NFL teams do you think gave Colin Kaepernick a call and asked about his services? Let's take a wild guess. This is the phone line. Colin Kaepernick had a very special phone number for any team that wanted to call him. This is a live look-in. That's weird. Just crickets. Yeah, he really botched that. If he had any chance, but even last week, and I got to tell you, there's been people that have supported him all the way through. And then there have been people that looked at that and said, you know, this is just all ridiculous and stupid to begin with. Why are they bowing down to someone that probably can't play anyway? So here's what the scout said. You remember this last week? They said he's about average. He doesn't have a long threat. I mean, he can still throw short. But then again, he didn't really run the same plays that you would a regular workout for someone that had the potential of making it to the NFL. So they said, he's just okay. Just okay. You know, there's NFL teams out there. You know what they're always looking for is, you know, just okay players. But either way, they also look into it where the person was more about making some sort of, you know, political statement as opposed to playing football. And that's another thing I'm sure the NFL teams really wanted. They wanted to find someone that's out there to make a political statement more than actually play the game. So no big surprise that when it came to trying to find a team that wanted him, that's what they got. Stephen A. Smith actually had some pretty good things here. Let me see if I can scroll back and find. Yeah, here's what Stephen A. Smith said about the whole ordeal.
He don't want to play. He wants to be a martyr. But guess what? It ain't working this time.
He don't want to play. He wants to be a martyr. And I think a lot of people that even supported him said that. He doesn't want to play. He wants to be a martyr. Not a big surprise there. I think most people saw through that. Didn't have to find a workout at a high school to figure that part of it out. So that seems to be, I don't know if that puts an end to the whole NFL and Kaepernick. He's still going to go out there and capitalize on the ability for him to be looked at as a martyr by some people. You know, there's another thing that happened in college football over the weekend. There was protesters that took to the field at a college football game. So protesters getting into venues is becoming more frequent. This one seemed to really push up there. So the Harvard-Yale game was delayed for more than an hour in an attempt to start the second half of their football game in New Haven. NPR reported, it says, banners with slogans like "Nobody wins, Yale and Harvard are complicit in climate injustice." Climate injustice. Protesters from both schools called on the universities to divest their multimillion-dollar endowments from fossil fuel companies, as well as companies that hold Puerto Rican debt. Said some 150 students protested midfield at the Yale Bowl Stadium, clapping and chanting, "Disclose, disfest, reinvest." Well, that's really not that catchy. So they told the PA announcer kept demanding, you know, the police went down there, and finally several hundred more fans came down anyway to join them. This is just so stupid and ridiculous anymore, isn't it? I mean, just how because I think about the days when the protester would hop on the field, run, and get tackled. But we're getting to the point where, in this case, you know, it looks like about 100 or more. What, 150 students came midfield? Harvard senior Caleb Schwartz, a protester organizer who was arrested, told NPR, took a football game to tell the two Ivy League rivals about the dire threat of global warming. Oh, they're really taking you seriously. Because I think about how policy is shaped. I really listen to the crazy guy running on the field to disrupt a football game. That's the opinion I'm really looking for. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There are students, I'm assuming, students at Yale or Harvard, one of these fine institutions. So in order to get their point across and for people to listen to them, I guess they got to run on the field. You know who supported them? Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders both were out there. Elizabeth Warren: "I support the students, organizers, and activists demanding accountability on climate action and more at Harvard, Yale." This is what would be great. How about we find about 150 protesters to just run into one of their rallies and just disrupt it so no one could listen to them do their speech? Hey, how about we get about 150 protesters to run into Bernie Sanders' rallies and stop him from saying anything? Wouldn't that be something? You know, they're out there endorsing this type of, you know, go out there and run and ruin and try to stop everything for an hour and do this and do that. You know, if they're going to endorse this kind of maniac way of thinking, well, we have to run on the field and try to stop everything and halt everything to be heard. If they're going to go out there and say that's fine, then how about we just do it at one of their rallies? I mean, it's kind of like giving them a taste of their own medicine, right? Yeah. Okay. But then again, Elizabeth Warren not actually drawing a crowd anymore. Bernie Sanders still does. Yeah, see how that plays out. I'm sure their security would be fine. I'd love to see Bernie up there say, no. Let them wear themselves out. And then, you know, for about an hour, people in the crowd just get restless and wait. This is so ridiculous. You can find that story online. I got that one from, pretty much everyone's reporting that, WBZ Channel 4 with the video on the climate protest, if you really care. Coming up in a moment, dog years, are they just a myth? I've always assumed that one dog year is equal to seven. No, one human year is equal to seven dog years. But some people are saying that's actually a myth. They're analyzing the dog DNA. And wait till you find out the way dogs really age. It's kind of bizarre, actually. We're going to talk about that next. It's Overnight America, KMOX. All I read this headline and I thought, oh, this doesn't sound right. It's one of those types of conventional wisdoms that you just knew to be true, but may not be true. So here's from researchers at the University of California, Independent, the news organization out there in the UK, put this article out there. Dog years are a myth. What? What do you mean dog years are a myth? Everyone knows this. One human year is equal to 7 dog years. So if your dog in human years is 2, then the dog years would be 14. 3 years old would be 21, and 28, if 4 years, and so just follow the pattern. You know, for every 1 is 7. Researchers at the University of California say they found puppies are middle-aged by the time they are 2. Middle-aged puppies? Now, come on now. Can puppies even be middle-aged? Think about all the energy a 2-year-old would have. And, you know, I've met a lot of dogs that are 2 years old. They don't act like middle-aged men now. They don't go around wearing sweatpants to the Walmart. They have a lot more energy and a lot to live for here. So they say that they have found puppies are middle-aged by the time they are 2, with dogs tending to the age more slowly in later life. It says by the time they get to 3, dogs are roughly equivalent to a 50-year-old human, according to the study. Wait, by the time they're 3. So if they're saying 2, they're middle-aged? What's middle-aged then? I thought you have to be over 50 to be middle-aged. Wait, is middle-aged in your 40s now? So the researchers looked at exactly how dogs are focusing on the DNA in 104 Labradors aged between 4 weeks and 16 years old. Oh, what a good boy. Get up to the age of 16. The DNA changes over time as cells mature, allowing scientists to track the animal's biological progression. And after assessing the results, they compare it to those found in humans. So I guess you can do that the way it breaks down, but this doesn't make sense. So apparently the cells break down quickly, and then after that, they break down more slowly, which slows the aging process. So by the age of 2, the Labrador DNA was equivalent to a human in their early 40s rather than a 14-year-old human, which is the traditional formula. That's the way they look at the DNA and the breakdowns of the DNA and the loose ends of the DNA, and they try to compare it. Okay, that's interesting. However, aging slows in dogs over time, meaning that by the age of 10, a Labrador is similar to a person aged about 68. Well, that's weird, because then if you look at that for one human year to 7 dog years, that would about equal out by the age of 10. So eventually they catch up to that sort of thing. So this is almost like trying to convert from the metric system, you know, and the rest of the world, they're using Celsius, or we're still using Fahrenheit. I feel like this is a much more complicated system than it needs to be, honestly. Pretty good rule of thumb, 7 for 1. So this ties in with the long-held formula for calculating dogs. The expected lifespan of Labrador retrievers, 12 years, correctly translates the worldwide lifetime expectancy of humans, 70 years. Oh, lifetime of humans, okay. Kind of a interesting way to look at it. I have a couple of dog moments for you. Maybe you would enjoy hearing some dog stories. So I told you the story of how I adopted a dog last week and the way we got the dog. My dog that I adopted before I was married, before my wife and I had a son, someone that was a great companion for me, passed away at the age of 13. And it was really rough. And it, well, no pun intended. So it was rough because I knew it was coming, and I just knew that his time was getting close to it, but it just so happened that it just rolled so quickly. You know, things were just really good, and I'm like, oh, he's doing really good for his age. Wow, he doesn't look like he's aging. And then all of a sudden, it was like, boom, he started aging very quickly, and things started to change with the way he was able to get up and get around, the way he was walking. You know, things started changing in his diet, too, and he had a hard time. There was just something that changed in him. But, you know, he was still able to do most of the things he needed to until eventually he wasn't. And I took him into the vet and said, I think we need to have that check, you know. And they confirmed, and it was still tough. And, you know, I still think about him every day. And we always talked about getting another dog in our house because we knew we wanted another dog. It just felt weird. It felt off. It felt unbalanced in our home without having a dog. So my wife and I decided that after Thanksgiving, we'll get a dog and at least start looking. And maybe by the end of the year, by Christmas, we'll find one we like. And then if we feel so inclined, we'll adopt a dog from a rescue at the end of the year. And things were going pretty well. I mean, every day we'd think like, ah, I miss Gotti, which was our dog. I miss Gotti. We were out for my wife's birthday last weekend. And we gets to pick where we eat. And I say just very casually to her, you know, I wonder if there's any interesting rescues out here. Because we don't normally go to St. Peter's, but she wanted to go to a hibachi grill. And there weren't a lot that were open for lunch. A lot of them are just like dinner. So she's like, okay, there's one open over here. It's got good reviews. We'll drive a little bit. We'll go to St. Peter's. So we went there. And while we were out there, I said, you know, look up and see if there's any rescues out here. And she said, I don't think that's a good idea. You know what's going to happen. We're going to fall in love and we're going to want to take a dog home. And I said, no. That's never going to happen. We just want to see if it's a good organization. That way, when we're looking, we'll know that we can include this organization in our search. So she said, oh, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Well, that wasn't a good idea because we ended up going and we ended up looking and we ended up finding a dog we fell in love with. And we took a moment and we looked at each other and said, do we want to do this? And my son, of course, is all into it at this point. Yes, let's do it. He really wanted a companion dog. Now, ever since he got old enough to be able to interact with dogs, my dog was already pretty old. So he was past that age where he was, you know, super playful. He goes to his friends' houses and they have younger dogs and the dogs are playful and he loves that. You know, he wants to be able to play catch and do these other things. So we see a dog that we thought would fit what we were looking for, and she was a complete sweetheart, such a sweetheart. And we look at each other and say, are we going to do this? So we decided to fill out the application just to see what would happen. And we were kind of like, well, I guess, you know, we don't have to like commit right now, but, you know, we can fill this out and they can look at it and, you know, we can still make the decision. We don't have to do anything other than fill this out. And we thought about it and we sat back and we said, you know what? I think this is the right dog for us. She is just so sweet. We ended up going and visiting again. And we confirmed, yes, we think this is the right thing. If we think this is what we want to do. So we said, we'll do it. We got approved. And on Thursday, we took the dog home. So last week, I told you the story of adopting this dog, a two-year-old dog, kind of like a pit mix mutt. Mixed with something. It's kind of brindled a little bit. And I don't even know what it's mixed with. I honestly can't tell. I'm going to ask the vet when I go in tomorrow because she has her first vet appointment. So we bring the dog home on Thursday. And let me give you an update of what it was like this weekend with the dog in the house. And I've had to adjust to bringing dogs home. It's a wild card, man. You don't know what you're getting when you have a new dog in the house. Could be crazy, could not be crazy, could be fun, could be not, could be up a lot, could be bothering you, could be jumping, could be playing. We brought the dog home and we tried the Caesar Milan way of doing it. So you put the dog on the leash and you walk the dog around your backyard. You walk the dog with the leash in your house. You kind of show every room so it's not like a wild scavenger hunt to discover everything at once. So you go through and you walk everything, went down to the basement, showed the basement. What was impressive is the dog wasn't trying to grab any of the kids' toys. You know, the kids got stuffed animals and stuff laying around. Didn't really seem all that interested in trying to claim any of those things that a two-year-old playful pup would normally want to do. So that was a good sign all the way. We didn't know if this dog was house trained. We didn't know anything, if the dog knew any commands, mostly because when the shelter takes these dogs in, they don't know what it's like in a person's home. It's not like fostering situations, they would be able to tell. But in this case, they wouldn't because the dog was not fostered. It was just in this no-kill shelter. So we take it around and then we release her off the leash to see what she would do. And she just kind of hung out with us. You know, she was laying around for a while and, you know, we'd rub her and she had a good time. She wanted to play a little bit. We got her some toys. She seemed interested in one of them, not so much the other. She really likes tennis balls. So she'd like to bring you a tennis ball. You throw it, she'll bring it, you throw it, you bring it. So she was really into that. And then it became the first test. Okay, if we let her outside, will she go and come back? So this is what we found. I think we really lucked out. She was house trained. She goes out, does her business, wants to come back in, doesn't want to stay out all the time, which is a good sign too. There's even a time where she was at the back door sitting and she gave a little whimper. I think, oh, I think she's trying to tell us she needs to go out. Went out and used the restroom. Very nice. So nice house train. Put a nice bed inside of our bedroom for her to sleep on. She slept in her bed. Didn't get up all night. She was perfect. So I'm like, wow, we really lucked out here. So over the weekend, we've been feeling pretty good about this. We bring the new puppy in, and your update for those that have been following along at home. The score is the dog's been doing excellent, 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 excellent. A couple of little minor things that we're still working through with the dog. You know, tried to jump up on the recliner a couple of times. You know, it doesn't really know better. When it went to our bedroom and tried to jump up on our bed to sleep at night, like, no, you can't do that. But the dog is learning, and it's got to be a pretty smart dog because there's instances where dog would walk up and, like, look at the chair thinking, like, oh, I shouldn't jump up on that. So still kind of learning the ropes. Has to be crate trained because she went right into the crate. And, you know, when we left, she whined a little bit. But, you know, she goes into the crate, comes out of the crate when we need it. I feel like we got a really good pup here. Super gentle. Probably the most gentle dog I've ever had when it comes to grabbing food out of your hand. You put a treat in your hand, the dog comes up, and it's as gentle as you could possibly be. I can't even imagine if there's any animal more gentle at grabbing food. It wasn't like that with my other dog. My other dog was like all about sloppy, you know, came in hard, but, you know, never got you, never like actually bit you or anything like that trying to get the food. Some dogs just like have no way to control themselves when they're around food. My other dog just came in hot and heavy and would grab it and you'd be gone. But this dog comes in slow and gentle. So we've been having a great time with the dog. I enjoy taking walks. I feel like I'm getting a lot of exercise, lots of exercise. I'm walking more. So who knows, maybe I'll start losing some weight taking this dog for walks. So that's our dog update. I hope you enjoyed that. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.